Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. Our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can be invested in Charlotte's growth. Today's episode of the Charlotte Angel Connection features young entrepreneur Aaron Galloway. To give you an idea of the type of go-get-em mentality Aaron has, he's the only entrepreneur to date who sought me out and asked to be on the podcast. He's got a fire to create a successful business and is smart enough to get it done. Keep your eyes on him as he develops Infinigift over the coming quarters. In this episode, we learn Aaron has been writing business plans since the age of 8. His first business plan was actually for a jean company. He was always waiting for the perfect business, but while having beignets with his dad at Cajun Queen, he was encouraged to just take the leap. One thing led to another, and Infinigift emerges the winner of Charlotte City Startup Labs in the fall of 2016. He's working through the development of the website now. Listening to Aaron, you'll quickly hear his confidence and wisdom that he has been preparing to launch a startup for 20 years. It's a great honor to introduce you to Aaron today. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us today. Certainly, we've talked about this interview for probably the last 2 months now, and I've finally been able to get out of my shell and get back on the game. So really look forward to having you and look forward to our discussion today. So thanks for joining us in the call.
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, it has been a little while. I'm looking forward to it.
So, with that in mind, you are new to the startup scene here in Charlotte. Can you give us a 60-second commercial on who Aaron Galloway is? If you go to 90 or if you cut it short at 45, that's cool. Just fill us in.
Well, thanks for the options. I think I'll take the 60.
I like it.
So I'm Aaron Galloway, as you mentioned, and I'm originally from Philadelphia. I actually moved to Charlotte from Detroit. It's going on 5 years. It'll be 5 years in April. And I have loved it, every minute of it. So loved it so much, I got married and decided to stay. I was part of City Startup Labs, which is a business accelerator. I was part of their 2016 class and ended up winning their pitch competition, taking a company called Infinigift through the competition.
Congratulations.
So I've always – I'm sorry?
I said congratulations. I didn't know
you'd
won it. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you very much. So I've always had a passion for business. I remember when I was 8 years old, I wrote my first business plan for a jean company. I was going to sell jeans, and obviously that never happened. But then I also just continued to write business plan after business plan after business plan, real estate companies, liquor companies, entertainment companies, companies that, deal in banking, companies that deal in tourism, all kinds of stuff. But they all stayed as ideas in books, and I can show you these notebooks. There's a lot of them. Because I did it for a good 18 years or so before my dad, I will never forget, at, Cajun Queen. We were eating beignets. And he said, Aaron, I'm tired of hearing about your ideas. And he had powdered sugar all over his face. And just casual as can be. He says, Aaron, I'm tired of hearing your ideas. Either make one and sell one of something. And then he went back to eating his beignets. And that just kind of stuck with me. So that was a couple months before City Startup Labs, and I jumped into it, and I've loved it, the whole process, ever since.
Okay, so I've got to ask, you go from Philly to Detroit to Charlotte. What took you to Detroit?
Well, I actually went from Philly to Tallahassee, Florida. That's where I went to college, in Tallahassee, Florida, at Florida A&M University.
Yeah.
And then I had three internships while I was at school. My last internship was with Ford Motor Company.
Gotcha.
So they gave me a job offer. And I moved to Detroit right after I graduated in 2011.
Okay. And you moved to Charlotte in?
2012.
Okay. So, gotcha. Well, welcome to Charlotte.
Thank you.
So, Infinigift, let's talk about it a little bit. It is a concept. It is a product near and dear to me. I constantly complain that our education system, and I know talking about education is a sore subject right now in popular news, but our education system lacks severely in preparing people to understand how to save and to eventually invest. So tell us how the story, tell us what InfiniGift is and how it came to be.
So InfiniGift is a tool that allows you to turn your life events into the building blocks of a financial future and a financial legacy for future generations. Came about because I got married last year and I got engaged in 2015. So I realized that my now wife and I had enough of everything. We had more than enough pillows. We had more than enough spoons and forks and plates and cups and vases or vases, depending on where you're from.
So I'm going to step in real quick and I'm going to educate you that you never have enough pillows. the other things maybe so, but pillows are they're you can't outlaw them just yet.
I only sleep on two.
Yeah, and,
there's enough pillows, but we just had enough stuff, and not that we were ungrateful. Or I'm ungrateful for anything that somebody would give me, but I figured, well, we're gonna have so many people sharing in this joyous occasion of our wedding. Why don't we have them give us something that can grow? Right, we're getting married and we're gonna grow a family. We're gonna grow together. So why wouldn't the gifts that we get grow as well? And I realized that there was no easy tool out there to do that. And then I also realized that people were scared of investing. So I set out to make a platform that, one, made it easy to invest or share wealth with other people, and two, made it easy to create gift registries, made it very familiar. People are very, very familiar with gift registries as it is.
Absolutely.
They go to Macy's, they go to Target, they go to Amazon, they click, or they give them the little scanner in the store if you go to Toys R Us and you make your baby registry. They know that. And so I wanted to take that familiar experience and turn it into something that could grow.
Very smart. Very, very smart. So, how did you convince your wife, who I take it has buy-in on this, that she didn't need more X but should want more shares of Apple?
I didn't. That's just I didn't. She loves the idea of the business, but we did get new plates for our wedding.
Yeah.
We did get some new cups for our wedding. Now, part of it is the platform isn't done yet.
Yeah.
So by the time we were married, there wasn't a platform to do it, but I in my market research, and a lot of my market research was conversation with my wife.
Yeah,
it was very clear that the marketers, and I'm one of them by trade, have done a great job around weddings and baby showers and getting people to want certain things.
So, Aaron, talk a little bit of what's the life cycle of the product. So you get married last year, and you've got them on the platform. Is it a one and done platform, or is it how does it operate?
No. So it opens up, or by it, I mean the registry will open up or reoccur either on the anniversary of the event for which it was created or on the birthday of one of the people who created it. So, for example, you can open it up if you get married on the anniversary of your wedding, or more likely, you'll open it up on either the birthday of your wife or your husband.
Gotcha.
And so in addition, and this is always in addition to, this is not in lieu of. I want to make that really clear. When I went out to market and do my market test, it was clear that people didn't want to feel like what they were doing was wrong. And they're not. If somebody wants to give you a new book or a new microphone for your podcast, then, you know, that's a nice gift.
Yeah.
Right. But this is in addition to. So do you need two microphones?
Are you going to give me one? I'll take it.
I'll give you some InfiniGift.
Yeah.
But it's an addition too, so you can have it on your birthday, and you see how this can recur every single year. And the best use case for that is a baby shower.
Yeah.
So baby shower, birthday one, birthday two, birthday three, and you can see how this can grow year over year. Because what do grandparents love to do? Spoil kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. So no, it makes a ton of sense. So essentially, the first time you hear about it, you think it's a one-pop shot, but in reality, this becomes a life cycle and a training mechanism to teach people how to save and invest.
Exactly. You talked about education. And to bring it back to that baby shower use case, you know, imagine as you're growing up, it's normal for you to receive shares for your birthday. Every birthday or every major event, you're receiving something of financial value that can grow. Well, that's going to become normal to you. And you're going to more than likely take that to your family. So it starts to, instead of berating people and saying, you need to read this book and change your life, we're just slowly but surely taking the behavior that's already there and we're turning it in a manner that can help everybody.
Yeah. So you wrote business plans from the time you were, I believe you said, 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see the Jeans business plan at some point in time. We'll have to grab a drink over those. But you've obviously grown through that. You learned things as you wrote different business plans. And here you are implementing, executing on a business plan. What did you learn from the exercise of writing multiple business plans? And what continues to surprise you today as you go forward?
The biggest thing is they'll never be perfect. Ever. And that was a big reason why there's so many of them stacked up, because I was waiting on the perfect one.
Yeah.
Or waiting until I had enough money, or waiting until, you know, the weather was 72 and perfect outside.
Yeah.
It's never going to be perfect. And I had to really internalize that. And that bothered me. So the other thing is about writing business plans is at some point you just have to jump. And you've got to know in your mind and heart that, okay, this is a really good idea. And then you've got to have more faith in it than anybody. Because if you think about any of the things that we're using now, they sounded crazy before they actually happened. So 20 years ago, if you said, hey, I'm going to be talking to somebody through video chat and recording them, and I'm going to put it out, and that could theoretically be my livelihood, somebody would have looked at you and said, this guy, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if Uber would have told you, you know, 10, 20 years ago, look, everybody's going to be a taxi. And anybody is going to be able to just call you, and you're going to be able to make money. We're going to make money. It's going to be great, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get in a car with a stranger? Yeah, you're going to get a car with a stranger. It's going to be cool. And you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy.
It does.
And that's the biggest thing that I've learned in writing all these business plans.
So I believe I told you that I spoke with Mark McDowell, an entrepreneur and investor up in the Lake Norman Davis area this morning. And one of the things that we were talking back and forth about the investor community in Charlotte and how it's more risk averse than it needs to be. And one of the things that he mentioned is that we have to get more comfortable with failure in Charlotte, because failure isn't actually failure. Failure is a way to learn and grow going forward. So what have you learned about, I don't want to say failure on launching these business plans so far, but what finally made it so that there were no more books for the bookshelves and this is it, this is my idea, right? What took it?
Well, so true story here. This was not my original business that I was going to take through City Startup Labs, the business accelerator.
Okay.
I actually had started a athletic performance and recovery products company, an organic athletic recovery and performance products company. That's a long name.
Yeah, it is.
Called a Posse. And it came about because I had a blood clot in 2013, and it was hard to find products to recover from it. But nobody wanted it. So.
Yeah.
My parents bought most of it, and they bought like 5. So
yeah.
It wasn't, nobody wanted it. And that was a great learning experience, because that was my first time really jumping out and starting a business, and it failed miserably.
Yeah.
But what I learned in going through City Startup Labs after that failure was I was able to take the learnings from that accelerator and apply them to a real life, or pair them with a real life situation to make Infinigift that much better.
Okay.
Right. So in that failure, in learning that I can't be my only customer. And my parents love me, but my parents' love is not going to sustain me as a business.
Yeah.
That's what made me a lot more focused on Infinigift, getting out in front of the customer before I had a product, not worrying about, do you have an NDA or are you going to steal my idea or something like that? Just getting in front of them and saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing, or this is actually what I'm in the process of doing. What do you think? And that's where I found out the in addition to as compared to in lieu of.
Yeah. So you've mentioned that you've mentioned City Startup Labs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
New entrepreneur, not completely, because you've written business plans for a number of years. But what's the support community like for you here in Charlotte? I mean, you've got an MBA, so you've got a finance background, but shares of stock. It's a different world, right? So, what's rallying around you, or is anything rallying around you right now?
Are you asking like is anything or anyone?
Anyone, any group, anything?
Oh yeah. So the entrepreneurial community in Charlotte has been great, right? Through City Startup Labs, which is run by Henry Rock, I've been in touch with all different types of people. Greg Brown at the Charlotte Angel Fund, you, and I've met people in finance, people in banking, people in marketing, people in sales, people in accounting, people who are entrepreneurs, people who failed in entrepreneurship. So I'm not at a shortage of resources in terms of people to help me out. In terms of funding, I've been able to secure some funding, so I do have one investor.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Who jumped in right after, actually, I did Pitch Breakfast. So right after Pitch Breakfast, I got my first investor. So to anybody who's thinking about doing Pitch Breakfast, do it. It works. So the community just has been great. I have an office at HQ Charlotte, so Dan Roselli has been really helpful. But overall, I have no complaints.
So the community's there to support budding young entrepreneurs is what you're saying?
Without a question.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier, and I've got to go to it because a couple of people have mentioned it in past interviews, still a concept for you. It's not a, you know, it's not a product. And here you are talking away about it as freely as you possibly can. Aren't you scared people are going to steal your idea?
No, as an entrepreneur, you can't be scared, right? You got to know that you're jumping off of a cliff, and it might be pitch black outside, but you in your heart of hearts have got to believe that I'm going to fly, right? So I'm not giving the blueprint out to the company, but how can you learn what the customer wants if you won't talk to anybody?
So
you could say, yeah, I have a friend who's looking for some information. No, just it's better to be honest with people and say, hey, this is what I'm working on. Start out with friends you trust. Yeah. And then they'll point you in a direction, and 9 out of 10 times it works out for you.
So the vague "I have a friend with an idea" is not the not the way to get started on the business venture.
Probably not the best way to do market research.
Fair enough. So on a serious note, though, I mean, this industry, the finance industry, and starting to deal with securities and whatnot, comes at you with a library full of regulations. Your background's not on the legal side. What are those roadblocks like, Aaron? And you and I have talked about it a little bit, so I'm familiar, but I guess what I'm getting at is any entrepreneur faces roadblocks, right? And this is probably going to be one of your bigger ones. I mean, how do you look at that wall of regulations and, you know, somebody might look at it and say, gosh knows, there's no way I can get around or get over it. And somebody else might say, well, I don't have to get over it. I just need to go around it. So how do you look at it?
Well, I think your latter point is how I'm looking at it. Not necessarily going around it by, you know, skirting the rules or something of that nature, but what is my most effective path? To your point, I did not come up in the finance world. So my MBA is actually with concentration in marketing, although I took enough finance classes to be CPA or accounting classes to be CPA eligible. I just didn't want to be an accountant.
You're not that boring, Aaron.
But accounting's steady money. Everybody has their taxes and stuff. So, but I just didn't want to do that. But now I do appreciate the fact that my business school made me take that many finance and accounting classes. I'm in the process of securing my Series 65 license. So at the end of February, I will be sitting for that exam. Looking forward to that.
Or not. Yeah, no, I've taken the 65. Not necessarily something to look forward to. But it's, to your point, it's one of those hurdles that you have to clear, right?
Right. It's the path. It's the most effective path to do what I want to do. And now that I can see that, now that I've gotten through the weeds and like, okay, that's the path I'm gonna shoot for. Not to say there might not be a barrier in the future that I don't know about, but that's the path I'm going for, and I'm going to put every bit of effort behind it that I can.
Yeah. So, recently married, young guy, Aaron, your maturity seems like you're 50, but there's no way you can be over 30, right?
No, I'm 28.
Okay, there you go. So, young guy, recently married, you know, smart couple, good job. How do you manage it, right? I mean, how do you do the 9 to 5, come home, spend time with new wife, and then explore, study for 67, or not 67, 65, and the other things. Now, how do you put that many balls up in the air?
Well, you make time for what you want to make time for. If you're really interested in being married, you would make time for your wife. So yeah. I'm very much so interested in being married.
It's only a year in. You should be, right? Yeah.
Right. So I make time for my wife. We have a date night, and we stick to that date night. Now, it doesn't mean we always go out, but we have a date night. I also have a son who is 6 years old. Okay. So I make it a point to speak with him. I speak with him every day. And I go down, he lives in Atlanta, so I go down to Atlanta at least once a month and spend time with him. Whenever he's not in sports, he comes up to Charlotte. Hmm. And so we spend time, we do all the things around Charlotte. He likes to go to the parks, you know, First World Park and Romare Bearden.
Yeah.
And then I make sure to, if I say I'm going to study for the 65, or if I say that I'm going to do demand generation work for Infinigift, if I say I'm going to do market research for Infinigift, I set aside time and I do it. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. That's what I've had to cut out, and I do feel a little bad. I haven't seen as much of my friends as I would like, but I figure, you know, once I can pick my head up and once this business is moving, I'll be able to get back to seeing my friends like I used to.
Yeah, no, definitely. So can I ask you real quick your wife's name so I stop referring to her as your wife?
Yes, her name is Montina.
Montina, okay. How does she feel about it?
She's been incredibly supportive. I mean, incredibly supportive. She's actually an entrepreneur herself, so she just started her own practice on the first of the year. She's a psychotherapist. So I'm going to put a shameless plug in for her. It's MyersGallowayCounseling.com. Okay. Go check it out. If you need somebody to talk to, she's the one.
Absolutely. She's not going to monitor or listen to our call later and psychoanalyze me, is she?
She probably will.
Okay, fair enough.
She's been incredibly supportive. So any time that I needed to stay late and, you know, be at HQ Charlotte at midnight or 1 a.m, she understood. And she'll find stuff that I need to look at. So she'll find things and say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever looked at that? You know, have you ever considered it this way? So she's been incredibly helpful.
So how do you, so 65 is on the horizon. That's one of the mm-hmm. things you're just going to have to do in order to continue to push the business forward. What's the next 6 to 9 to 12 months look like, Aaron? What from development to everything else?
So 65 in February, establishing RIA in March, and development starting on the same path in March as well.
Okay.
So we've got our platform, we've got our developers, we're ready to go. So the things that are holding up the developers and the platform is the RIA okay. and the broker partner. Who clear our trades.
Okay.
And then, of course, I have to get the 65 to make the RIA.
So you're working on all of those simultaneously?
Right, yes. So making calls. I'm going to put the word out there. If anybody knows of a broker partner who will back me, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and do you have a live website right now, Aaron?
I do. It is www.infinigift.com.
And email address is?
agallowaywy@infinigift.com.
So that's agallowaywy@infinigift.com?
Yes.
So what else are you looking for right now, Aaron? What do you need from the community at large?
Well, I still need the support of people. I need people's feedback. I want to know, what would really make you not only use this, but tell your friends? You know, what would make you say, you know what, this is the gift I want. I want an Infinigift. That's what I want. What would make you say that?
No,
so that's what I'm looking for from the community.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Question, the name, explain the, I think I get it, but and explain the name for me.
So it's a play off off of two words, infinite gifting. So gifts can grow as much as possible because stocks can go as high as whatever. Now you can also go down, but let's talk about positive.
Yeah.
So it can go as high as you want.
We're in a positive mindset today, Aaron. Let's get this.
But more than that, it's about establishing legacy, right? So a legacy is forever, right? A legacy outlives you. It's infinite. So we want gifts that last a long time. We want gifts that turn into family businesses. We want gifts that turn into educational opportunities that allow your children to pursue things that you may have never imagined. We want gifts that turn into habits that your family or you have not seen in your lifetime, but by the time it gets to your grandkids, it's just second hat.
No, that makes a ton of sense. I love the name. So it fits really well. And now knowing the actual name behind it, it makes even that much more sense. Support from the community, anything else from a need perspective? I'm assuming right now that funding investors would be welcomed as well.
I'm not going to turn an investor away, but I am not actively seeking investment at the moment. No.
Okay.
I'm waiting until I'm just a little bit further along, and then I'm going to jump out there and see what the needs are. That's another thing that I've learned through this whole process is just going out and getting money for the sake of getting money isn't really what you want to do.
Okay. That makes sense. So with that, you're the earliest stage person I've spoken with yet as far as, you know, concept. I mean, it's a developed concept. It's not like you just put it on a piece of, you know, or on the back of a napkin yesterday, but it is a concept. I'm going to assume we have fair right to give you a call in 6 months and see how things are going.
Oh, without question.
So awesome. Well, Aaron, again, the concept, the idea, what will soon be the product is something that's near and dear to me. So it caught my attention. I'm really excited about seeing it over the course of the next six months. Thank you so much for joining us on the call today. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you a little bit more and hear your story. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. And it really has been fun doing the podcast. And I'm definitely looking forward to the next 6 months. I'll actually have the real product and we'll be able to share some stories about how well it's doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So then we'll do it 5 years from now when there's big success on the back end too.
Right, we'll do it on a yacht.
There you go. I like that. All right. Well, thanks so much, Aaron. I really appreciate it.
All right. No problem.
William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.